Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to continue our trek through the Bible here. We've got to Job chapter 7 and verse 1. Before we continue, I just want to add a word that on Wednesdays on the Pope's calendar, that middle of the week of the work week day, we're doing live broadcasts on that day. We're going to leave off the Bible study for a day. And we'll cover topics, do questions, perhaps even have guests. So that's at 9 a.m. in the Pacific time. That would be noon during the Eastern time there on the other coast. So try to show up for that. You can call in. We'll give out a number, and perhaps I'll even pay attention to the chat room, although it kind of is distracting. If you think I should have guests on, you know, that would add to the program, the prophecy that we talk about, or current events or whatever that we might want to shed a little light of the word of the Almighty on, email me. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, find the contact page there, and contact me with suggestions for guests. And perhaps then I will have a guest on at your suggestion. Also, go there and suggest me as a guest on other people's programs. That would be nice, to do some interviews and stuff. I've done a few. I'd like to do a lot more. It would certainly help out. So if you know anyone that might be interested, perhaps over a video or my booklet, What Year Is It?, things like that I could be interviewed on. I promise to give a very insightful and entertaining, interesting interview to whoever wants to interview me. So suggest Nicholas Arthur of crosstheborder.org as a guest on other programs, and suggest to me on my contact page there who I could have on as a guest on Wednesday programs. I could, perhaps entertain a guest for a half hour, an hour, depending on the guest and how interesting it is. Or sometimes, if nothing else happens, we'll just discuss current events, prophecy. Always have a full mailbag that I have never tried to empty out. But I answer all the emails I get within a week. Usually sooner than that, but depending on how much is going on. So feel free to email me. Go to my website, the contact page there, and you can use the contact page, or you can get my email there and email me. If you're on the internet, you can do that. If you're not, you can write to me. You hear during the breaks here, you'll hear an address given for First Amendment Radio, to say order the Greatest Prophecy DVD, or to make contributions or whatever. You can write to that same address. Just put Nicholas Arthur instead of First Amendment Radio, and I will get it. Okay, let's jump back into Job here. Chapter 7, verse 1. Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Yes, there is. We shall surely die. We all received that. We inherited that from our great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam, who brought that upon all his seed, and we are his seed. We shall surely die. You know, there's only one book on earth that explains that for us. None of these other religious books explain it for us. Just the one book. And that is the word of the Almighty, the Bible. That's right. We shall surely die. Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro unto the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eye shall see no more good. The eye of him that has seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As a cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest watch over me? When I say, my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than my life. And I know how that is. We've all suffered some kind of malady in our life where we felt this kind of anguish. And the last thing I want is someone watching me and setting a watch over me and then trying to convict me of sin, trying to figure out the reason why that I'm suffering, the calamity I'm suffering, or the anguish, or the things that I'm suffering, and trying to pin it on some sin or other. Yes, we know the root of it all is sin. Not necessarily our own. Not all the time. But what good does it do? I lost a dear friend of mine here late last year. My friend Sean, who board-opped for me on Thursdays and Fridays. And got to visit him in the hospital. He didn't want any visitors, but I visit him occasionally anyway. And the last thing I wanted to do, I mean, he was at the end of it. He was 72. He got his 3 score and 10. And in quite a bit of pain. Yeah. Came on him suddenly, and it was over with in a month or so. All I wanted to do was comfort him. That's all I could do. What good would it do? He already lived his life, and he was a man of faith too. You know, to sit there and try to figure out what happened to him. Well, it's what happens to us all. Is there not an appointed time to man upon the earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? Yeah, see, it's an appointed time. Some sooner, some later. Some bring it on themselves early by, as they say, digging the grave with their teeth. You know, they can't stop their appetite. They can't rule over it, but it rules them, and finally is their early demise. But what are you going to say when they're suffering and ready to die? What good is it going to do? Don't you think that they've already thought of it? Just pray, you know, that they've lived a life of repentance, that they're going to cross over. No one said you had to be perfect to enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to be in the process of being perfected to be in his kingdom. That much I know. They scare me with dreams and terrify me through visions. Let's continue here. We got to, let's see. Verse 17, what is man that thou should magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou should visit him every morning, or try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee? O thou preserver of men, why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgressions and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Chapter 8 of Job. then answered Bildad, the shoe height, and said, yeah, like Kent Hovind says, that he was the shortest man in the Bible. He was only shoe height. Then answered Bildad the shoe height and said, how long wilt thou speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Doth God pervert judgment? Or doth the Almighty pervert justice? If thy children have sinned against him, and he have cast them away for their transgression, if thou wouldest seek unto God betimes, and make thy supplication to the Almighty, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee, and make thee the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous, and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous, surely. You know, people are quick to judge, aren't they? So I know a lot of people look at the troubles I've been having for the last several years or more with the severe trials that I've been going through. I know that the Almighty has held back the enemy, but this is certainly, there must be something hidden. There must be something wrong with him. Must be secret sin. You know, I fear God too much to have secret sin. And how do you have secret sin from the Almighty? There is no secret. But Bildad the Shuhite is trying to figure it out. But there must be something, Job. There must be something, Job, that you're hiding. There's something we don't see here because we don't see it. But certainly God doesn't, the Almighty doesn't pervert justice. Yes, he doesn't. We shall surely die. And many of us, good righteous men, will suffer before we die. We've learned later in the Gospels that even the Messiah was perfected through suffering. Yeah, here we have the perfect man, the man who never even sinned. He did not have the death sentence. He was not born with it like us, the you shall surely die death sentence. If you don't understand that, watch my my Greatest Prophecy DVD about the Messiah and how he was born and why he was born of a virgin. That was so that he would not be born in sin, receiving the death sentence from Adam. See, he's the only man after, well, Adam wasn't born, so I can say that. He was the only man who was born without the you shall surely die death sentence. That's right. That was the Messiah. All of the rest of us have it. And so it is a judgment. It is justice that we die, that our mortality comes to its end. Doth God pervert judgment? Is it because one man is not righteous that he dies or suffers for a period of time before he dies? No, even the Messiah suffered and was perfected through suffering. And, you know, I remember that every time I suffer. I had a man who was who I've been discipling over the years, and especially lately, because guess what? He got cancer and he's dying, or he thinks he's dying anyway. And we're all dying. It's just a matter of when. And the doctors were, of course, giving him these strong drugs, OxyContin and all this stuff. And they got him hooked on these drugs. And I told him that. I said, even the Messiah was perfected through suffering. And he was convicted. And he started to wean himself off the drugs. And he gave instructions to his doctors that if and when he dies, that he's not to receive any drugs. He was convicted by the word of God. That even the Messiah was perfected through suffering. How much more us? So remember that next time you're suffering. Don't be quick to run for the bottle or cry for the doctor, but look for the perfecting work that's being done in the Spirit. Yes, look for it, and you will find it. Remember those words. Even the Messiah was perfected or matured. That's another interpretation of that. The Greek word there is, even the Messiah was matured through suffering. Our life, when we're in Messiah, when we walk on kingdom ground, we live in his kingdom, and we endure in his kingdom to the end, we are perfected through suffering. Sometimes we have to suffer to put off sin. Sometimes repentance requires suffering for us. Of course, we know the Messiah never had to repent because he never sinned. A little different story, but there's much to be learned from his life. So how much more us? I believe that Job understood this. But these men that are questioning him, they don't understand it. Quick to judge. I'm sure everyone who's quick to judge, they'll get their answer in time. Some people will just curse God and die. That's their judgment. You know, that's their testimony of their life. Some people blame God when sickness and illness comes upon them. I've learned by his word that I can't blame the Almighty. It's sin. Sin entered into the world. Sin brought about corruption and suffering. But it works for our good if we love him. And that's what I'm looking for. Take this circumstance, take this situation, take this suffering, take these trials, take these tribulations, and let them work good in me because I love God and I'm called according to his purpose. That's Corinthians, I forget now, right offhand. It'll come to me. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. I can't recall the numbers right now, but I do have the verse memorized. And somebody let my pest cat back in. I hear him meowing out there. So anyway, Bildad the Shuhite. If thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would awake, as if the Almighty sleeps. Tells you how much understanding this man has of the Almighty. Of course he's awake. I mean, the Almighty doesn't go and take naps. He can handle it. You know, he can handle everything in the universe. It's all under his command. Nothing's happening that he doesn't know about. He sees everything. The eyes of the Lord, yet the eyes of Yahuwah, are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He is awake. But he said, surely now he would awake for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. Meaning, if you were righteous, you would be prospering. Yes. It's not always so. Our prosperity does come to its end. We shall surely die. Chapter 8, verse 7. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday, and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee, and tell thee, and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is yet in its greenness, and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. You can say true words, but they're not always applicable. Yes, a good friend of mine said, truth without love is cruel. And amen to those words. Truth without love is cruel. There's a lot of truth out there, but there's not a whole lot of love. Whose hope shall be cut off, whose trust. Oh, back up here. Chapter 8, verse 13. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish. Whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the place of stones. If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow. Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers. Well, we don't see all things, and it is true. God will not cast away a perfect man. And Job was called a perfect man, complete, pious. That's what I get here from the Hebrew. Undefiled, upright, not perfect in the you know, perfect sinless, because we're all born in sin. But the perfect man is one who walks in the ways of the Almighty. He follows the Master as a great shepherd, as one of his sheep. God will not cast away the perfect man. That's our hope. He will not cast us away, no matter what we suffer. We may suffer, we may be consumed in a flood or a tsunami, or we may suffer for months before we die in sickness and pain. Yet we are not cast away. Neither will he help the evildoers. Till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing, they that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. Bildad the Shuhite. Job chapter 9. Job. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus and Orion and Pleiades, the chambers of the south, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. It seems that Job pondered a lot of things, even the stars. Wonders without number. You know, we still don't have answers for these things. We know about things, but still we don't know why. How does gravity work? We don't know why. We know what it does and how it works, but we don't know what it is. A simple thing is light. Still studying it, still trying to figure out what is it. Yea, wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. How much less shall I answer him, and choose out my words to reason with him? Whom, though I were righteous, yet would I not answer, but I would make supplication to my judge. If I had called, and he had answered me, yet would I not believe that he had hearkened unto my voice. And we're going to pick up there. We're going into a short break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. Stay tuned for the news, and we'll be back after that.